ജയം ശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്രീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേംസഹു ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാം ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ബുധലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രജാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശാരി ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവദേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവദേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവദേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ രഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരത ചാർത്തേ ക്ഷഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൾ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദി കവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താവത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാത് നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ഹാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിതാതൃതാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഹരി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി పాశ్చాత్యా దేశధారిణీం శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశా వ్యాసం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాదీభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళహేషమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. When we discussed last Sunday, before we start, I just want to let you know that after the class today at 7:30, we will just have about 15 minutes to talk about this trip to India, to make a decision whatever we are going to do. So if you could, those who are interested in traveling to for this trip in July, August, if you could stay back, that will be nice to discuss these things. So we'll continue. So last Sunday we were discussing about the Avirhotra Maharshi's discussions with King Nimi. Started about karmam, isn't it? Karma yogam vadadana. That's where it came about, to talk about karma yogam. So before we go into karma yogam, why karma yogam is important? Number one question. Why karma yogam is important? Why is that? This karmam is always in the front of spiritual life. In every spiritual life, everything, when you go into the Vedic literature, you'll find karmam has been given an important role. What is the reason behind it? What is the reason why karmam has been given such an important role? We have to know that. Plus, how this karmam can be turned into our advantage in spiritual life or advancing on the spiritual path. Karmam itself is jadam. It's dead thing. It has nothing to do with this world. But still, karmam has the important role in the spiritual life. This is why it is so important. We have to know why it is like that. And to know that, there's a lot of things behind it. And to discuss this, even if you refer to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has given 3 or 4 chapters in Bhagavad Gita to discuss about karmam. There must be some reason why Krishna has brought karmam so powerfully in the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, if you look at Bhagavad Gita from the chapter, second chapter itself, when Krishna says to Arjuna that when Arjuna says to Krishna that karpanya doshava krita swabhava prashamitvam dharma samuta chedaha, I am confused about my dharmam, and bruhi danme shishyasteham shadivam tvam pratanyam. He surrenders to Krishna and asks for direction. Up to that point it was friendship, but friendship changes at one point in life. Friendship all goes away. Friendship is only on an equal level. Krishna and Arjuna were thinking they are on an equal platform. Arjuna was dealing with Krishna. But at this particular point, Arjuna changes that mood and says, Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. I surrender unto you, please guide me. That is where the guru-disciple relationship begins between Krishna and Arjuna. So from there it starts. Now, if you look back into Bhagavatam also, you will see something very interesting. If you look into the first chapter of Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, when Vedavyasa Maharshi introduces Srimad Bhagavatam to us, how did he start with that? He says there, Satram, Shaunagrishi is saying to Sudha Goswami, Satram Surgalogaya Sahasra Samama Sada. This is the word he has used. Satram Surgalogaya Sahasram Samama Sada. This is where that one line you can see in the first chapter, in the first canto itself. Shaunagrishi is saying to Sudha Goswami. Very important words in there. Why important? Because Shaunagrishi and the sages who are present there, they were performing this sacrifice in Naimisharanyam. With what goal? To go back to the heavenly planets. That's why it says there, Satram Surgaya Logaya Sahasra Samamasada. And that sacrifice was going to last 1,000 years. Sahasra Samamasada. So 1,000 years sacrifice, they were going to perform in Naimisharanyam with the goal of going back to the spiritual heavenly planets. Satram Surgaya Logaya means heavenly planets. Sahasra Samamasada, 1,000 years they were going to perform. You see? So there itself, when Shaunagrishi saw this, that they were performing this sacrifice, Shaunagrishi realized what their mood is. What was their mood? They wanted to perform karmam and go to the heavenly planets to enjoy life. This was going through there, the sages who were present there. The sages were thinking like that. So, obviously, the sages performs the karmam under instructions from the kings who ruled, and they were performing the sacrifice. The sages themselves were not interested in that. But they are performing the sacrifices for the sake of the kings who were engaging them in these activities. So, Satram Sargaya Logaya Sahasra Samamasada, it said like that. As soon as he heard this, that this satram is performed for going back to the heavenly planets, you can see in the second chapter how he comes back about that. What did he say? He says to them, Jivasya Tattva Jinyasa. Human life is not meant for just to go to the heavenly planets and to come back here again. Jivasya Tattva Jinyasa Na Artham Yascheha Karmavi. Karmam should never be performed just to acquire wealth or for the sake of enjoying the heavenly planets. There itself he has cautioned the sages. And then he started telling Jivasya Tattva Jinyasa. Human life is meant for realizing the truth. The absolute, one's own realization of one's own identity. Sashalkaram, it is called. So unless you realize the self, this purpose of spiritual life is all just absorbing in ritualistic ceremonies, just absorbing in performing sacrifices, all with the goal of going to heavenly planets to enjoy there and to come back and accept another material body and go through this cycle again is not recommended from the Vedic literature. Now we have to understand a little bit more. Vedic literature talks about four things. You will see, Prabhupada also mentioned it many times. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. Isn't it? These four things everybody knows. This is how the Vedic knowledge is structured. Vedic knowledge is structured in that way. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. Dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. Four things. Now previously we spoke about this. Why it is like that? If one executes, everything should be on the platform of dharmam. That is the first thing. Dharmam is the very basis of the Vedic philosophical culture. On based on that, one can develop artham. On based on that, one can have kamam. And if these three things, dharmam, artham and kamam, is executed on the basis of the Vedic injunctions, then automatically the last 25%, which is moksham, Krishna offers to one. Provided he execute based on these three things, dharmam, artham and kamam. Now, this what we are going to discuss today, we have to live very carefully, you have to listen to it, because it is a very important topic and it is also the whole science of life, how the Vedic literature presents it. It's a very important subject, that is why I'm stressing that again. So, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, right? So, many people have fallen into the trap that artham and kamam is also part of that. In the Vedic tradition, they are saying like this. So, why shouldn't I earn money? Why? Because Vedas are telling us Artham is 25%, Dharmam is 25, Artham 25, Kamam 25, and Moksham is 25. So 25, 25, 25, and 25, 100%. That's how life is. That's how the Vedic literature says. So if it is like that, Artham and Kamam is specified in the Vedic literature, why should I not go for it? This is the question. Now, the important point to realize here is this. Vedic literature is not telling us to go for Artham and Kamam. Artham and Kamam is not the goal of Vedic literature. Vedic literature don't have to tell us also to go for Artham and Kamam. Without Vedas telling us, that will be our main business in this world. Anyone who come to this world, first thing, how to make money. This is the first thought. And after making money, how to enjoy the money, what I have made. Do you need Vedas for that? Do you think Vedas will say these things to us, to do these things? Anyone with intelligence can understand. Vedas' business is not to tell us to go for Artham and Kamam. But out of these four, Artharamam becomes the priority in our nature itself is like that. And Vedas knows about that, sages knows about it. Because they know about it very well, they understood that if we tell them not to go for Artham and Kamam, they will not even touch Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the people, they know us much better than what we know about us. So knowing very well, they decided that this Artham and Kamam is suddenly to withdraw everything from the world, for the ordinary human society will be very, very difficult. So what they decided was, they said that after getting a material body and a mind, they will naturally go into this Artham and Kamam. But at least let us create a structure in such a way that they don't get trapped in that and how they can escape from that. This is why Karma Yogam comes in. Karma Yogam's importance is like that. That you don't get trapped in this world. Somehow or the other, use that karmam in such a way that you can free yourself from this bondage of cycle of birth and death. Leaving this body, accepting another body, leaving that body, accepting another body. This cycle is continuing all the time. So how to free oneself from that? That is what is discussed in Karma Yogam. That is the beauty of Karma Yogam. So there, when we talk from the Vedic point of view, Arthakamam is not the goal of spiritual life. It's not the goal of Vedic way of life. Vedic way of life is, the goal is very clear. Moksham, liberation, once for all, to come out of this cycle of birth and death. That's why Sutta Goswami said to Shaunak Rishi, what did he say? Jivasya tattva jityasa. Jiva has only one business. What is that? Tattva jityasa. Understanding the truth. Na artham yascheha karma bhi. Not otherwise executing artham, acquiring artham or wealth or acquiring karmam is not our goal. That's not our goal. That we have to be very clear in our head. Otherwise what will happen is, when we start understanding in this way, dharmartha kama moksham. So first I have to become religious. I have to chant 16 rounds. And doing all my spiritual activities, what I have been told. Then the next thing is I have to make money after that, after I have chanted my 16 rounds. So by 9 o'clock I am free to start making money. And then after that, evening hours I have got for my sense gratification. And then liberation will automatically come to me because I chanted my 16 rounds in the morning. This is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is not like this. Spiritual life means the goal has to be very clear, and the goal is very clearly defined in the beginning itself of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Beginning itself, because he does not want to mix words with the sages. He said to Shaunak Rishi and others who are present there, the goal of life is not Artham and Kamam. Vedas don't have to say this to anybody. That is their business. They will do it. In the whole world doesn't follow Vedas, isn't it? Many of the people don't follow Vedic literature. Does anybody have to tell them to do Artham and Kamam? Then they are automatically doing it without anyone telling them to do anything about it. So Arthakamam is not the goal of spiritual life. Arthakamam is only a part of it which has been controlled and restricted by the Vedic philosophy in such a way that we don't get implicated in this world. That's the purpose of this. That's why it is spoken like this. So, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, these two things in the middle, artham and kamam, they are the very dangerous things. These two, artham and kamam, are very dangerous things. We can go so easily out of the track and get absorbed in this world and find justification. People can find so much justification to make money in such a way possible and then still doubt, call it dovetailing with Krishna or Krishna's consciousness and make justify everything. Like even these four regulative principles of what Yatra Babas Chaturvidha Bhagavadam says, the four kind, even that people find it very difficult. Because when you take to these four principles itself, they are finding it that there is some restriction on making money there. So automatically what will they do? They will switch on their way of thinking to other ways of justifying it. Either in the form of, suppose, the modern economy as you can see today, how it's all falling apart all the time. People are getting cheated and people are getting driven by the institutions in different ways. And we don't still learn from them how vulnerable the whole thing is. And we are still putting so much faith in it. Why? That is Maya. This is Maya's way of doing things. How Maya traps us in different situations. In fact, if you really understand Bhagavad Gita, so many things what we do, especially in the modern spiritual life particularly, because in the modern spiritual life, everything has to be very comfortable. Otherwise, people are not ready to take to spiritual life. Unless you are very comfortable, you don't want spiritual life. So therefore, the spiritualists also have learned this. They said, put a package together in such a way, so that they will come and engage in some kind of spiritual life. But they know very well that there is no vairagyam, there is no detachment, there is no understanding of the philosophical side of it, that what makes a person spiritually advanced and how it helps him to make that step further. Even the four basic principles I was talking about, that the no gambling, we say. Gambling includes everything, all the stock market, share business, this, that, everything is gambling, nothing else. But then what we come around with that saying that we've got ethical shares and all kinds of other things. But it is stock market, it is gambling, there is no question about that. And if we develop this mood of approaching Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken in the second chapter about Krishna's role in this world, we are minimizing it. We cannot cheat Krishna, we have to go with Krishna, we have no option. That is our position. And if we start finding justifications to cheat Krishna, we will be cheated. That is what Prabhupada told. All the time he repeated this. If you find with your mind and intelligence, develop crooked ideas, and trying to cheat Krishna some way, Krishna will cheat us at the end. Because he is the super soul existing in everyone's heart, knows very well where our heart is, where we are. And therefore, it is so important to understand the principles of Bhagavadam and principles of Bhagavad Gita very clearly, what Krishna has spoken. Each and every verse in the Bhagavad Gita is so precious. And same thing with the Ekadasi Skandam also, that unless we grasp the message clearly, if you remember, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there is a verse there which says that it is in the second chapter. If you read that verse again and again, you will know what Krishna is talking about. Krishna says there in the second chapter that talking about the soul means what? Talking about Krishna, nothing else. You're talking about Krishna. Krishna says, Ashcharyavad paschadi kaschidenam. Ashcharyavad vadati tathaiva chanya. Ashcharyavad chainam anyashrunodi shrutvapyenam vedana chaiva kaschil. This is the verse. You can go home and when you have time, take this verse and read through it. It is the verse 29, second chapter. Krishna is saying there, Ashcharyaval paschadi kaschidenam. Ashcharyaval vadati tathaiva chanya. Ashcharyaval chainam anyashrunodi shrutvapyenam vedana chaiva kaschil. I'll read the translation. Some look on the soul as amazing. Some describe him as amazing. And some hear of him as amazing. While others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. See? Cannot understand him at all. That is soul. The nature of the soul is like that. What, when Krishna says cannot understand him means, they will misunderstand, in other words. Everything what they will understand about the soul will be completely misunderstood. they will think that Krishna is presenting in Bhagavad Gita what soul is. In other words, what Krishna is. It's Krishna's part and parcel, isn't it? All the souls in this creation is Krishna's part and parcel. We have come from Krishna. So this living entity cannot ignore this very fundamental fact of life, that we are spirit souls. And spirit soul has only one option left, to understand the super soul and act accordingly, super soul's instructions. That is why this verse is important, that somebody sees the soul as amazing, because they are not understanding the soul. Somebody hears about it, amazing. There are so many examples I can give on this verse, but that we'll keep it for another time. Just if you understand this very fundamental principle, that soul is not understood easily. Soul is not understood easily. Asharyavel Pashadi Kashidenam, he says, they are asharyavel, they are amazed by the soul. Amazed by the soul. Why we should be amazed about the soul? Because it is not easy to understand how the soul functions within us. We don't know that, how it functions within us. And our examples and throughout the history, if you look back, you will also notice that self-realization has happened to people whom we least expected from them. Such people have gotten self-realized, the soul. They realize the soul. So self-realization and spiritual life are things which are beyond our understanding. And whole this second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is nothing but Kathopanishad. Krishna took Kathopanishad and summarized it. That is the second chapter. If you study Kathopanishad, is nothing but the realization of the great sages. And that Kathopanishad Krishna took to Bhagavad Gita and put it. About 8 to 10 verses in the second chapter is Kathopanishad verses. Prabhupada, while commenting on this particular verse, you can see what verse he has selected from Kathopanishad. He says there, since Gitopanishad is largely based on the principles of the Upanishads, it is not surprising to also find this passage in the Kathopanishad. And what does Kathopanishad say? Kathopanishad says, Shravanayabi bahubariyo nalabhya shrunandobi bahavo yana vidyu asharya mukto kushalo selabdha asharya yada kushalanushishtaha. This is the Kathopanishad verse which Krishna has taken it from there and put it in the Bhagavad Gita like this. Asharyaval pashyadi kashchidenam asharyaval vadadi tathaiva janya asharyaval chainamanya shranodi shutva apyenam vedana chaiva kashchil. It is the same verse from the Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad is saying there that Shravananya Vibahubir Yonalabhya, somebody has heard about the soul for a very long period of time. Still he hasn't got it. He didn't get it. After hearing about the soul, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, for many, many years, still he didn't get it. The soul. That is the nature of the soul. Shranado Vibahavo Yana Vidyu. Somebody who has not heard about it, he got it. Somebody who never heard about it, he got it. What is the reason for that? Reason is this. Some people hear and it goes with that. They say we have heard it. They just heard it. Didn't go further than that. So hearing means what? Hearing, this is where the science of hearing comes in. Hearing means it should go in and start churning inside. And the churning is not happening. In other words, mananam is not happening. When mananam doesn't happen, whatever you heard, it will not go deeper than that. And that is why this second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is a subject to be churned and churned and churned. Year and year. And this will be enough. You don't have to even go further than that. Just this second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, if you study it well, that will keep you spiritually alive. You don't need anything more than that. It is so powerful. Krishna's realizations and Krishna's discussions on that. You have to know the commentaries on the great authorities, acharyas who commented on Bhagavad Gita, on these verses particularly. So there itself, Kathopanishad is saying, somebody has heard about soul for so long, but nothing has happened to them. They still have not understood. Somebody hasn't heard very long, but he has understood. The reason is the difference in the hearing. Difference in the hearing means they've heard it, but they thought about it enough. Enough they've thought about it. Every time they are thinking about it. Why is it like that? Why is it like that? By constantly meditating on that, automatically, simply by Krishna's grace, nothing else, the fact is revealed to the devotee. He gets to know what he is talking about. All these things in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, as I said before, by effort, you're not going to get it. by mercy you can get it. There are two things. One is Krishna's grace and Krishna's mercy. Both. Krishna's grace and Krishna's mercy. So all you can do is to allow Krishna to get in. Allow Krishna to get in. If you resist Krishna to come in, when you say allow Krishna to get in, what does it mean? It means that you have to get rid of this material thoughts inside and allow the spiritual thoughts to develop. That's what it means. Once that happens, spiritual thoughts is enough. You don't have to discuss about Krishna's pastimes or anything. The knowledge what Krishna has revealed in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, if you allow that to get in and to start working inside, automatically you will see the results coming from that. It is guaranteed thing. Because Krishna says that simply by discussing this, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, they call it. Shravanam is hearing. Mananam is churning it through what we have heard. And Nididhyasanam means after that, having understood and having come to perceive the truth, being fixed in that position. That is Nididhyasana. So then there is no fall down after that. You will stay in that spiritual consciousness all the time. Everything is consciousness at the end. If your consciousness is very much attached to matter or very much attached to the body all the time, thinking about the body, you will see this whole creation is nothing but matter. If you are attached to the body, whole creation will appear to you is full of matter. If you are always pondering in the mind, if you are absorbed in the mind, mental activity, you will find the whole creation manomayam. Krishna says this in the Bhagavadam. Shariramayam, manomayam, and eventually pranyamayam. Pranyamayam means, if you have understood everything is consciousness, then your consciousness is spiritually situated. You will see the whole creation as consciousness. So, Lord depends on us, not on the external world. Most of us make this mistake, thinking that we have to change the world to suit us. No, we have to change us to see the world properly. That's where the difference comes. We miss that point. We don't change our outlook. We stay as we are. We won't want to change, because we have strong resistance to change. And changing means what? Allowing Krishna to walk in and allow this knowledge to build up inside. There is a story about this, just to give you a deeper understanding. See, in the Bhagavatam, how it is said is, Akramyanam Avastida, it says. Once you allow Krishna inside to come in, what will happen is, he will come in and he will take control of you after that. He won't allow you to think about anything else. That is how he is. Krishna is like that. Akramyana Hridi Avastida, it says. And I think it is in the Saptamaskandam. In the seventh canto, while talking to Prahlada, it says, that akramyana hridi avastida, that he will get inside, and once he gets inside, he will stop you getting involved in all other things in this world, and mind will become more and more focused towards thinking about the soul Krishna. That other things will completely get wiped out. There is a story to give this example. You know, in the desert in Arab countries, while the Arabs are traveling on the camels, sometimes during night time in the winter, it gets very, very cold. And what they do, they will stop moving and they will put up some tent and park their camel outside, and they'll go inside the tent and sleep in the night so that the next day morning they can continue the journey. So once it so happened that an Arab was traveling like this, and one of the camel which was standing outside felt very cold in the night. Very cold in the night. So it puts its head, you know, it's the long nose like what the camel has. It puts into the tent and says to the Arab, can I just leave my nose inside? It's too cold outside, it said. Arab says, oh, put it on, he says. After some time, the camel says, I'm feeling cold in the ear. Can I just put a little bit more? Says, he brings in further, oh, come in, he said. Then he put everything in, one after the other. And eventually, the camel got in and the Arab was outside. the tent. Yeah, it's like that. Krishna is like that. Once he gets in, then you have no choice. You just have to, he will get in and you will be thrown out. That means your false ego will go from inside. Ahangaram will go and Krishna will take over the whole situation. But you have to allow that to happen. You have to at least allow that nose to put in from inside. And that is, at least that much we should allow. And that is Bhagavad Gita. That's Bhagavad Gita. So here, the important point to remember is this. Akrami Hridi Avasthitam. There is, Krishna has a way of doing things. And that way Krishna does it is like this. As soon as it gets in, and as soon as your mind gets a little bit attracted to Krishna, immediately you should allow, open up all the windows so that he can get in from everywhere. But if you keep all the windows closed and say to Krishna, look, I got only half an hour in the morning for you. Rest of the time I got my life to live. I got this family, that, and all other things, that. If you have to forget that, because then Krishna feels he doesn't want me. Why should I get in there and give him trouble? Let him continue with his life. So this is the important point. So, akramyam hridi avasthitam, that is what it is. The Bhagavadam, when we're discussing this point, you will see there, Krishna says these things in a very interesting way. He says there that in the that if we are thinking that my self-effort, I will capture Krishna, that's not going to happen. That will not happen. Nobody can capture Krishna with their effort. It is only by grace, only by mercy it can come. You have to allow that to happen. And in order that mercy to happen, this is the process. That is why it is said like this, that as I mentioned before, this great devotee, he went to his spiritual master for years and years. He was trying to understand Krishna from the Bhagavadam, from Bhagavad Gita. He says, nothing is happening to me. So spiritual master understood what the problem is. Problem was this. He was trying to understand with his intelligence and the mind. He says, give up that process, intelligence and the mind. Come to the process of surrender, Sharanagati. That will work, he said. And that's the only way you can do it. And Sharanagati means this, that to allow Krishna to come in. And once that goes in, then everywhere what one experiences is nothing but spiritual life. Nothing but spiritual life. In that process, everything becomes in relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, if you separate things these ways, everything, then what will happen is that you making the decision maker in everything in this world and not allowing Krishna to make the decision. We discussed this last Sunday, that aham karta, aham bhokta has to go. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Krishna is the karta and Krishna is the bhokta. And that we have to accept it in our own mind very seriously. Otherwise, it will stay like this. It won't go further. The engine will struggle to pull further. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you will see there, Krishna in the very beginning itself says to Arjuna, in different levels, Krishna is talking to Arjuna. We will come to Bhagavad Gita later, after we finish Bhagavad Gita. Oh, sorry, Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is the most important chapter. You will see Prabhupada is titled as Contents of Bhagavad Gita Summarized, he says. Because the true knowledge of the whole spiritual life is there in that second chapter. And there you can see how a soul like Arjuna comes up in spiritually step by step. From bodily level, to mental level, to intellectual level, on a dharmic level, and eventually to spiritual level. How Krishna brings him up, stage by stage. You can see that in the second chapter very well. And there, Krishna says to Arjuna one important point. It's a very important point about our nature. And what did Krishna say? This verse, you must have heard it many times. You must have recited it also many times. But it has not affected you enough. This is the difficulty. Krishna says there, Matra sparshastu kaundeya, shidoshna sukha dukkada, agam abhayino nityam, tam tidikshastu bharada. He says, Arjuna, Bharada means one who is, Bharada has different meanings. Bharada also has got a meaning, apart from the dynasty of Bharata Maharaj, also one who relishes spiritual life. It's also Bharada, one who, Rama in Bha, in knowledge. One who is relishing spiritual knowledge, he is Bharada. So another word. Anyway, he says to him that, Matrasparshastu Kaundeya, that this experience of this sense objects, what you are experiencing of the sense objects through the senses. Everything is like that, isn't it? Shidam, cold, ushnam, heat, sukham, happiness, and distress, dukham. Shidoshna, sukha, dukhadam. Remember, agam abhayino, they will come and go. If you absorb your mind in that, this is what we discussed last Sunday. If you start absorbing your mind in those things, instead of seeing behind that who is actually
working all these things, or how this is happening. The soul is not happening. The soul is not happening. It is happening to my mind. It's my mind that is getting absorbed in this. Isn't it? It's my mind that's getting absorbed in this. So Krishna is saying to Arjuna that if you stay in your mental platform and start making decisions, your decisions are not going to be correct. Because agamapayino nityam, they are coming, they are going. They are coming, they are going. Every single day, every hour, every minute. That's what is happening. Yeah. So, agamapayino nityam, they will come and they will go. They will come and they will go. They will not stay. Nothing is permanent. Neither happiness nor distress. But what do? We discuss the happiness, we discuss the distress. We discuss the heat, we discuss the cold. This is what we discuss. We don't discuss who is behind it. Krishna says, unless you come out of this, this called quality called titiksha, Krishna gives a lot of importance to it. Abhayasattva samshuddhyar jnana yoga vivasthiti dhanandamascha rakshascha swadhyaya stava arjavam ahimsa satyamakrodam tyaga shanti abhayashunam daya bhudeshu aloluptam mardavam kri ajabalam teja kshama drudir shaujam adroho adhimayida bhavandi sambandam devi abhijadasya bharada. Krishna says there that the quality of titiksha or ability to tolerate things and handle them with knowledge requires expertise. Handle them with knowledge requires expertise. Because generally, what we do, if it gets too hot, you say, oh, it's too hot. We look for the air conditioner next thing, isn't it? That's the first thing we do. And we are the people who want to go back to the spiritual world, imagine. Okay? These are the people who are queuing up and bought the ticket for the spiritual world. Krishna says, you have to stay in the material body for another many millions of years. Because with this understanding, you can't go to the spiritual world. Because very much absorbed in the body, that's where the whole problem begins. Then unless we take these chances in life, we risk in life, it is necessary sometimes to risk life a little bit. There's nothing wrong in that. Because after all, I'm not this body. At least theoretically I've learned it. And still, my attachment to the body is not going away. What to do? So, I am not this body, this body is not mine, this body is not mine, nor this body is not meant for my happiness. These are the three steps in the understanding the body. I am not this body, first thing. Secondly, this body is not mine. This body is not mine. And third thing, this body is not to be used for my happiness or distress. Whatever it is, I am not experiencing that. These are the three clear definitions in the Upanishads about while talking about material body. Material body is meant to be. After all, what is material body? Material body one day has two things. Either it will become ashes, isn't it? One day it will become ashes. We all know that. Or what will happen is, and the soul, Krishna says, neither takes birth nor death. There is no neither birth or death for the soul. And the body can turn into ashes. Then who is changing? Who is changing then? We're struggling all this about spiritual life, about moving from one body to another and everything. Why? It is that subtle body. Now we'll come back to what body is. How many bodies have we got? Do you know how many bodies we have? We are only, how many bodies are there?
Two.
No. Three, yes. We have three bodies. We have to have three bodies. Do you know why? Because we exist in three states. Isn't it? We exist in Swapnam, dream state. We exist in Jagrat. We exist in Sushupti. So three states we are existing. And the soul, untouched by all these things, has to go pass through these things. So naturally, in Swapnam, Jagrat, Sushupti, it has to have three existences, and they are the three bodies. In the Jagrat state, when the mind is busy, senses are busy, and we are busy with the gross body, we call it as the Jagrat state or the vacant state. In the Swapnam or the dream state, as soon as the whole material body or the gross body starts taking its rest, immediately the mind comes into action. And when the mind comes into action, that is what is when you are in the subtle body. When they are in the subtle body. So, gross body and the subtle body, you will find discussed in the Bhagavad Gita and in Prabhupada's commentaries and purports also. The third thing, which is called the causal body, that's called Karana Shariram, is the one that is in the Sushupti states, in the deep sleep. And the whole secret of life is in that body. Imagine that. The whole secret of life is in that body, Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram is the body where the whole secret of life is kept. I'll tell you why. Say you have got into problem with someone. You have fired him or got heavy with him for something. Some got angry with somebody. What happens first thing? First thing that happens is a line draws inside. A line is drawn inside that I've developed a certain degree of hate or aversion towards someone. Immediately it falls in a line. Again, it stays there, waiting for the next thing to happen. During the course of time, or in the course of time, another incident happens, the line gets thicker there. The line gets thicker there. And the line gets thicker. As it gets thicker, a stage will come when you cannot stand him anymore. This is always happens either in the office or even at the temple or even at home with relatives. In every field, in social activity, all the time, you will see sometimes people coming back and saying this, I just can't stand that person. Something between two people develops, isn't it? In some form. It may be knowingly or unknowingly, it's getting stronger inside. That line is getting thicker. When the line gets thicker, it's called vritti. In Shastram, it's called vritti. That vritti stays there, and in due course, it develops into samskaram. Develops into samskar. Samskar doesn't mean culture alone. It's not culture. Culture is the English word. Samskaram means that impressions inside. It becomes very strong inside. That impression of that person becomes very strong inside. And in a day, you are creating a lot of impressions throughout your day-to-day dealings, isn't it? Dealing with people outside or dealing with various objects in this world, sense gratification, dealing with the bosses, dealing with the management, dealing with your friends, family, and all, different impressions are created inside. Okay? Now, all these impressions, what is gone in the form of vritti, the jiva or Krishna's part and parcel, what it does is, it sets up in the karana shariram or causal body, it puts it in an order. It puts it inside. In a particular sequence, it puts it inside. In karana shariram. It stays in the karana shariram. Why it stays in the karana shariram? Because it's not ready for action yet. You're not ready to execute. It has to be executed now. Now it has become a solid foundation for the next set of bodies. So what you have created already. And all these things is kept in this causal body. Sushma Shariram doesn't do that, nor the gross body does it. It is done by the causal body. It's called causal body, but the Sanskrit word is Karana Shariram. Sulam Sushmam Karanam. Jagrat Sotnam Sushupti. Three states and three bodies. Jagrat Sotnam Sushupti. Sulam Sushmam Karanam. That is how it is understood. So, now let's see further from there what happens. Once it has gone into Karana Shariram, it stays in the Karana Shariram. Now, how do you know it stays in the Karana Shariram? This is an important thing, isn't it? When a baby is born, have you noticed the baby sleeps something like 15-20 hours in a day? Isn't it? In the early days, everybody sleeps 15-20 hours. So, if you ask the scientist, you know what he says? Or the doctor? He will say that he is only sleeping because he has to grow. He has to grow, biological growth, isn't it? Physical growth to happen, that's why he is sleeping. But Vedas are much more very specific on this. No, they're not sleeping just to grow the body. This Karana Shariram, what all it has brought with it from previous life, all that has to be transferred to the Sushma Shariram later on. And this transfer is happening in these long hours of sleep. That is why the child needs so much sleep. Not for any other reason. It is during these 18-20 hours of sleep in a day, what's happening in this baby's consciousness is that from the karana shariram or causal body, everything is get moved into the sushma shariram for that to further for the next buildup of the vasanas inside further, to take it further from there. You have to remember that yesterday's subtle body is today's gross body. This link you can't forget, because we are thinking that that gross body is something different than the subtle body. No, they are all connected very closely, very much connected each other. The subtle body will develop into gross body. Once it has become a gross body, you can't do anything about it. You just can't do anything. You just have to accept it. What has come to you, just take it in a happy mood without complaining anything about it. Somebody says, oh, if I say that, oh, I wish I had a better body, a stronger body, or a thinner body, or a fatter body, or I should have been tall, I should have been thin. All of these are out of question. It's all finished. Some vasanas or some impressions you have created from your previous lifetimes has moved from karana shariram to sushma shariram to stula shariram. Stula shariram means this gross body. That's already matured now. There's nothing you can do about it. So therefore we say, don't worry about gross body too much. It's already something what has already been settled. It has already taken shape. Now, you'll also see something different here. A baby needs so much sleep, right? But an old man doesn't require so much sleep. Have you noticed that? Old man cannot sleep so long. They also need much lesser sleep. Why is that? What's the reason behind it? Reason is this. All the karana shariram bag is empty now. It has all come to sushma shariram. And sushma shariram means what? Mind start working. That is why Ajari Swamiji says, at the old age, old man has got only one thing to do. What is that? Vriddhastaval chindasakta. Always thinking about life. What has happened? What all I did in my early days in life? How I managed different things? How I acquired wealth? How I gave trouble to so many people? And how I destroyed so many people's life? And a lot of things, whatever we have done. An old man, he just sits in his chair and he is thinking about all these things. What has happened? Why? Sushma shariram is very big by now. Karana shariram bag is empty. You see? Karana shariram is by now empty. And sushma shariram is very big. And it is this sushma shariram or the subtle body that is changing the body. That is changing the body. Soul has nothing to do with it. Soul has no change of... Soul has absolutely nothing. Soul goes along with everything. Whatever happens. He is not affected by any of these things. It is the sushma shariram that is affected by all these things. Gross body will die here, so you can forget about it. It is ashes at the end, isn't it? Either it is ashes or it is to be eaten by other animals or whatever it is. It's nothing valuable. You just have to ignore it. It goes one day. The karana shariram bag is already empty. Sushma shariram is full. And sushma shariram will drag you from this body to another body again. That is how this stula sushma karana shariram works with jagra satnam sushupti. These are important things. These things, whether he is a devotee, whether he is a jnani, whether he is a yogi, it applies to all. At some stage or the other in your spiritual life, Krishna will make you understand these things. Even if you don't understand it now and experience it now, in the process of spiritual life, at some point, Krishna will make you aware of all these things. You won't be able to come out of it. You can't deny it. You should not take it as an academic subject. It's not an academic topic. These are the facts of Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. He is like this. Then if you accept Krishna's knowledge, what Krishna has given us, you have to accept this. You have no choice in these things. All Vedantis agree with that. All the branches of Vedic philosophy agrees with these things. You can't change it. It's a way the soul, science of the soul works. And we cannot question it. If you take it seriously, you can know how important it is, spiritual life. How important spiritual life is. But if you don't take it seriously, our spiritual life will be centered around a little bit of rituals and a little bit of little bit of external things. But these are the internal side of the spiritual life, the important things. സ്ഥൂല സൂക്ഷ്മ കാരണം ത്രീ ശരീരം ത്രീ ബോഡീസ് ജാഗ്രത് സ്വപ്നം സുഷുപ്തി ത്രീ അവസ്ഥ ദീസ് ത്രീ ആർ കോൾഡ് അവസ്ഥ അവസ്ഥ മീൻസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് എ ടെമ്പററി എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് പെർമനന്റ് സോ ഫോർ ദേ ആർ ഓൾസോ നോട്ട് ട്രൂ യു സീ ദേ ആർ ഓൾസോ നോട്ട് ട്രൂ ബിക്കോസ് ദേ ആർ ടെമ്പററി ദ ടെമ്പററി എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ് That's all. Sthula, Sushma, Karanam, Jagra, Swapnam, Sushupti, they are all temporary things. So none of them has got anything to do with the soul. Whereas the soul, always permanent, always shining forth through all these things. Sthula, Sushma, Karanam, Jagra, Swapnam, Sushupti, senses, mind, intelligence, false ego, in everywhere he is present, but he is not present in anything. That is his role. As you see in the Bhagavad Gita, this is why you have to keep reading Bhagavad Gita again and again and again. Every verse is so potent and pregnant with knowledge. As much as you think through it, you will see, get attracted by it, and it will be like the camel coming in. Once the camel goes in, that is the Bhagavad Gita goes in, then you will leave everything. You will be thrown out. That means your false ego will go, and this will take over everything. That is how important it is. So this is the reason why I was saying that the karma yoga now comes in. Where karma yoga comes in? Karma yoga comes in here like this. That we by nature, we have two options, isn't it? While we take birth in this world, capacity to know something with the mind and intelligence, we can understand things. And then the next thing, with the senses, we can act. Act means with karmendriyam. With jnanendriyam, you can acquire knowledge. And with karmendriyam, you can act. That's why it is two different kinds of senses. One is called jnanendriyam and the other set is called karmendriyam. I think you all know what that means, isn't it? Jnanendriyam are the five senses of knowledge and karmendriyam are the five senses of action. They are all mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. You can see. Indriyani pararahu indriyebhya panam mana. Manasastu parabuddhi buddhistu paradastu sa. Krishna says. That sa, that soul, he is watching, observing, not implicated in any of these things. But indriyani parayahu, indriyebhya parammana, higher than the mind, higher than the senses is the mind, higher than the mind is intelligence, and higher than the intelligence is the soul. So, coming back to this, so what happens now? We are caught up in a situation where we have been given knowledge and we have got senses to act. And the fact that we have got senses to act means we will act. We won't be able to stay without action. Action is a must. Unless one has realized the proper absolute truth, he cannot refrain from action. He has to continue in action all the time. So because it is like that, this action or karma has got this problem what we discussed. Every action what you perform, it draws a line here. Every action has one line to draw. And if you continuously perform that action, that will develop into a vasana or impression inside, which will turn into a vritti or chitta vritti, it's called, which will develop into samskaram later. So karmam, you can see how it binds you. Any karmam, if you execute in this world, what will happen is, it will bind you. No doubt about that. Karmam will bind you. Karmam, you can't escape very easily. So that is why this question came up here in the Bhagavadam, that how do we escape from this karmam? First question was Bhagavata Dharmam. Kavi Maharshi answered. Second question was symptoms of a devotee. Hari Maharshi answered. What is Maya? Andarisha answered. How to cross over Maya? Prabuddha answered. Then what is Narayana? When he said Narayana, what is that all-pervading super soul, Krishna? What is he? Who is he? Pipalayana Maharshi answered. And the next one, the question was, after Pipalayanam, the next one was Avirhotra. Avirhotra is answering that question about karmam. How karmam will bind you and how karmam you can free yourself from. This is a big science. Unfortunately, there is not a lot of examples these days to show someone who is executing it precisely, properly. Because with the fall of the lack of understanding and also due to the influence of the age where we are living today, We have lost it. That strength people have lost in this process. I will give you that example later. So, two things are discussed in Avirhotra's answer to King Nimi. There are two points discussed. One, karmam and how to escape from karmam. There are two processes mentioned. One, through the Vedic way of escaping from the karmam, and through second, through the deity worship. Two processes are mentioned there. How to escape from this karmam. Karmam you cannot avoid. You have to do it. Because if you don't do karmam, you have a problem there. Do you know what the problem is? Problem is, you will not be purified. Or suppose you have got a lot of karma vasana inside. Karma vasana means these impressions inside. And if you don't execute the karmam, what will happen? The impressions will stay. Once the impressions stay, your chitta vritti is not pure. Karma chitta shuddhi is not there. Purity is not there. And the purity is not there, what does it mean? You will not be able to realize this knowledge of Bhagavatam. You will not be able to realize it if the chitta shuddhi is not there. That's why chitta shuddhi is necessary. Chitta shuddhi means the purity of the mind is necessary in order to understand and realize this, what's discussed in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. But in order to get that purity of the chitta shuddhi, or what is called the purity of the mind, one has no other choice except to execute karma yogam. Through karma yogam, you purify this. That's why karma yogam is discussed. So you have no option to stay away from karma yogam, because without karma yogam, you can't go further in spiritual life. You can't go further in spiritual life. On the other hand, if you don't execute karma yogam, instead karmam if you execute, what will happen is you will increase your impurities inside. Karmam is nothing but impurity. There is no question about that. Unless if it's not executed in the proper understanding of aham karta, aham bhokta, it has to be completely gone. If it is executed in that way, that Krishna is the karta and Krishna is the bhokta, then there is no impressions inside. No vasanas will build up inside. But so long as, which is not possible for ordinary people, most of us are working in this world, we have got attachments, we have got liabilities, and we have got all kinds of commitments, and our karmam is with us. Our karmam is with us. We cannot outrightly write it off. If you write it off, what will happen? Because this karmam is coming to you today only because all these impressions are inside. That's why this karmam is catching you. It's not letting you go. Because so long as these impressions are there, you will still go to office. You will still do your work. Or still you will do the factory work. Whatever work that you are doing, it is only because from inside that strong vasanas are pushing you there to go in the morning and to do that. That you can't come out of it easily. You can't come out of it easily. So karmam is an important factor. Either it has to be executed in such a way so that the vasanas goes away. Or if you stop not executed, then the vasanas will stay. That means you cannot move further in spiritual life. So long as the vasanas are there, what will happen is, as long as the vasanas are there, your karmam will force you to work in one way or the other. And it will cause more bondage in this world. And this is the reason why it is said that once the spiritual knowledge starts working inside properly, then it is a mandatory thing that automatically you will give up karmam. It will come to you, at stage will come, karmam is no more required to be done. Because ultimately, karmam is not the way to the back home, back to Krishna. Back home, back to Krishna is knowledge and devotion. Bhakti is the process which takes you there at that. And pure bhakti can only happen when the proper knowledge is developed inside. Otherwise, it's not pure. other bhakti is all sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti stage, everything is based on instructions and we carry on doing it. A lot of mistakes will be there, what we are doing. Whereas in the pure devotional stage, there is no mistakes. That is coming out spontaneous devotion for Krishna. That's pure. Whereas sadhana bhakti is not pure. There it is executed. At the same time, a lot of karma also we are doing. And this karma is binding us. And sometimes karma overpowers us and bhakti goes away. Sometimes bhakti overpowers, karma goes away. In this, between these two, we keep floating all the time. So whatever it is, here the question came up from our great personality, Avirhotra. Avirhotra wanted to clarify this point to them, that karmam and akarmam and vikarmam, three things. We discussed this in the Bhagavad Gita also in the third chapter. They are three branches of karma. What they mean is, karma means prescribed duties. Prescribed duties means what? Means what? Means this, that according to the impressions what you have, the karma vasanas, what you are executing. And that should be within the framework of Vedic thinking, way of thinking. That means not engaging in sinful activities and to do things in such a way that to maintain the body one is entitled to work. So that karma has to be pure so that it doesn't create more and more these vasanas inside and more the bag of karana shariram gets full with it. Because once it gets full, what will happen is that it has to come back again. You cannot avoid, it will stay, it will stay. So therefore, this karma yogam is that subject which talks about this. So karmam is that thing which is done according to prescribed duties. Akarmam is that thing when you decide not to do anything, that is akarma. Suppose I decide, oh, it's like this, if it's going to cause problems, why should I do anything? And stay away from karma. Krishna says, no, you can't do that. You can't do that, because he said to Arjuna the same thing. He says to Arjuna, Arjuna, you can talk anything you want at the end. You are going to take your bow and arrow and fight there. It's not, you cannot get out of it. Because the vasanas inside, Krishna knows the karana shariram and sushma shariram Arjuna better than Arjuna knows about it. So Krishna says to him, that will push you to do it, whatever is necessary. So better not go in that route. Then vikarma means, this is the most important of all the three, to do things which are forbidden from Vaidhi Shastram. And that is what we all do today. Most of it is, 99% is vikarma. So you can see, if you look at it from Bhagavad Gita point of view, how careful we have to be in life. Anyhow, we are caught up in this. There is nothing we can do now. We have come here with all these vasanas and impressions inside, with three bodies with us, and we are want to get out of this another body. We don't want to come back here and accept another body, go through this process of birth, death, old age and disease. That's enough. One lifetime experiencing is more than enough not to get back into it again. And somebody feels that they want to go through this another few more times, birth, death, old age and disease, then we can afford it, if you can afford it. But having realized this, one should keep this completely in the front while discussing Krishna consciousness. Because this is the very principle of Krishna consciousness, that we do not want to get entangled again. How this very same karma, how that can be used to advance in the spiritual life. So that is that discussion which is going to happen now between King Nimi and Avirhotra. Avirhotra, as I mentioned before, all these names in the nine yogis, they have a meaning behind it. That's why such names have been used. Avirhotra means one who sacrifices himself in the fire of knowledge. The fire of knowledge. So that itself is an indication that what he is expecting from us to do. That if you understand the cycle of karma, how it binds you, and the proper way of executing karma, and if that is properly understood, thought about, at least it will put some brake on us in not getting involved in unnecessary karma. At least to that extent you can come out of it, isn't it? Otherwise, you know what will happen. It will be like the bulls which has no rein on it. Yeah. What will they do? They'll jump and go everywhere, do everything it wants without any control. And that is what happens in the modern society. That because there is no restrictions, there is no restriction from anywhere, as soon as they go to school and college, first thing they want to do is, how much money can I make in the next? They're making plans in the office. You may have seen some young people particularly, where you want to be in 5 years from now, where you want to be in 10 years from now, and interviews, this is all what they're asking the question. Where you want to be in 5 years now. And if your answer, if you say is, look, I am not interested in making money, he says, you are not the man for the job because you have no ambition. These materialists have been contaminated so badly, and because money making and enjoying senses is their only business, UEM, UEM, YM, YM. They will be what they are and we will be what we will be. That's not going to change. So one has to first make up their mind what they want in life. If they think that this cycle of birth and death and making money and enjoying senses is all the life is all about, then Bhagavad Gita is not for them. Bhagavad Gita is not for them. They should not touch Bhagavad Gita. Rather, they should go out, work, work and work as much as they want. And when they get totally satisfied, had enough of it, then they can come and start taking Bhagavad Gita and start reading it. With this mind of absorbing in karmam, particularly vikarmam, and thinking that money making and sense gratification, if Bhagavad Gita can help me to do it, because that is how most of the spiritualists nowadays do it. They're telling the corporate offices, look, send all your executives for a training on Bhagavad Gita. We'll teach them how to improve their productivity and they can make more money for the company. They're running, and the management realized also, some of these private management, industrialists particularly, they think that if we can use Bhagavad Gita to control the workforce, how to get best out of them, improve their efficiency, why not? We'll pay some few £100 to one or the other organization, let them come and run a few courses. So organization is happy because they're getting a few £100 from the industrialists. Industrialists is happy because in a subtle way, they're able to control the workforce through Bhagavad Gita. And they will stress on this karma yoga, and all misunderstood, completely misunderstood. And they'll tell the workforce, you have to work very hard, don't expect any results, so don't bargain for the salary, wages or anything. Like this, they twist the whole Bhagavad Gita to such a degree that at the end, they don't get Bhagavad Gita, they get something else. There's only feeding into this industrialist sense gratification. He wants to expand this company from $1 million to $1 billion. And you are supporting him for that project in the name of Bhagavad Gita, teaching Bhagavad Gita. This is what's going on. This is going on in so many places. And Bhagavad Gita is very attractive to many people when they say about the use of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna didn't mean to speak all these things for that purpose. If you take each and every verse in the Bhagavad Gita, when you start going through it and chewing through it, you will see what Krishna is talking about. Take for example, if you look into the second chapter, there's a lot to say about the second chapter. Because we don't have so much time, only one or two things I'll mention to go back to Bhagavatam. Because I may think, why I'm talking about Bhagavad Gita now? We'll come to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. But without this background of Bhagavad Gita, it is impossible to understand Bhagavatam. I have said this many, many times before. The verse 16 in the second chapter, we talked about it a lot before. Nasade vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sada ubhayorabhi drishtuandam stanayar tattvadarshibhi. Krishna, first thing Krishna told Arjuna is that, Arjuna, you understand this verse completely, properly. Krishna gave a detailed explanation on that. Nasade vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sada ubhayorabhi drishtuandam stanayor tattvadarshibhi. Tattvadarshibhi, Krishna says, those who have realized the truth, those who have realized the truth, that is very important. Many instances in the Upanishads and other places also you will find in the Vedic literature. If you have come to spiritual life seriously, you should only read those books which are written by realized souls. You should not read books which are not written by not realized souls. What will happen is if you read them, it will cause a different impression in your mind. Because spiritual life is all realization. And realization cannot be expressed by those who have not realized it. That's why it is said, if you read books, what Prabhupada has written is from realizations. That realization won't happen overnight. It comes through after a long lifetime of practicing that, executing that spiritual life, and Krishna's mercy it has come. So when you read books, it is a requirement. You should read the books of those who are self-realized. Otherwise it won't do any benefit to you. It won't give you any benefit. You can read it like a novel, other books. And after reading it, he has got something to say. Leave it there at that point. You can leave it at that point. It's not going to help anymore. Because every verse in the Bhagavad Gita, if you take, you will see that nasadi vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sada ubhayorami drishtvandam stanayor tatu darshavi. Four lines only, but the knowledge in that verse and to live up to that verse is absolutely difficult. It's very, very difficult. And that requires tremendous support from Bhagavadam, from the other Upanishads, Puranas, everything, just to support this verse. In order to live up to this verse, that's why I'm saying, as much as you can go and do courses and seminars and everything, it will all stay on the lips. It won't go deeper than that. What we want is deeper realizations of Krishna's words. If that realization is not forthcoming, then you have to think whether is that worth. Krishna said, in hearing about one of these verses, Amdavandaimime deha nityasokta sharirina anashino aprameyasya tasmal yudhyasya bharada. Krishna likes this word tasmad. Have you seen? Throughout Bhagavad Gita you will find this word tasmad. Therefore, he will say. Tasmad means therefore. This word tasmad, Krishna loves it. Throughout Bhagavad Gita you will find in so many verses, tasmad you do this, he will say to Arjuna. So here Krishna is saying there, Andavandamime deha. Deham, material body, is perishable. It will die one day. Nityasyokta sharirina. That thing inside, that's me, Krishna's part and parcel, or Krishna inside. Nityasyokta sharirina. He is eternal. He is not temporary. He is eternal. And Krishna says there, anashino aprameyasya. That aprameyasya, the word aprameyasya also means anashino aprame, immeasurable. Immeasurable, he says. That anashinam, he has no death. The thing inside, he has no death. And aprameyasya, you cannot even measure his potency. You cannot even measure the potency of that me who is inside you. Krishna is saying this. And what do? We go running after other things, trying to open schools, hospitals, and all other relief organizations to save this world. Are we not going against Krishna's words? Think about it. All these schools, hospitals and idea, where did this come from? Because you have no faith in Krishna. Krishna is saying, I am sitting within you, aprameyasya. And I am there to look after, run this world in each and every one. Anashino, I have no death. I am there all the time, aprameyasya. And still, our philosophy, what do? Because we haven't got... This modern world is completely fallen into this trap. This modern world is completely fallen into this trap. Wherever you go, you will find this. Spiritual organizations doing this. They want hospitals, they want schools, and they think by doing this, They will save the world. They are not going to save the world by taking these verses, Krishna's verses, you can save the world. Not otherwise. Absorbing this knowledge, what is given in this. Anashino, aprameyasya. The faith in Krishna's words is necessary. That is the most fundamental requirement. And that's why this Bhagavad Gita, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, there is no parallel to it. And you won't get it anywhere. All what is required is Shrinavadi, complete hearing to Krishna's instructions. Once you hear this and your faith in Krishna is built up, you don't need any school. You don't need any hospitals. So many examples we can give you that hospitals and all that, that's fine. We are not saying that you don't open hospitals. But if you make this as the only business in spiritual life, then what spirituality is that? Opening hospitals and opening schools. It has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is taking... Prabhupada didn't want all these things. This is all our creation. Prabhupada wanted to understand this great literature, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. that will satisfy all our needs materially and spiritually. This is the point Prabhupada was saying, that simply by accepting that knowledge, only thing we have to accept it. If we start speculating or concocting things on our own by using these words in the Krishna says you should start opening schools and hospitals. If you find that in the Bhagavad Gita, like the industrialists have found Bhagavad Gita helpful for their propaganda. Similarly, people are using Bhagavad Gita for other purposes also. We can't do anything about it. But so long as one takes Krishna's word seriously and understand what Bhagavad Gita is talking about, then for him, the life is simple. Life is not complicated. Life doesn't become a burden for him, because he will see every moment what Krishna has spoken will make the decision, not our so-called mind under sense gratification. So whatever it is, so coming back to this, that why I mentioned all these things was in order to stress this point. And anashino aprameyasya. Aprameyam is that one word is enough to show Krishna is saying to us, he is inside you. He is inside you. You don't need anything else. You don't need anything else. He is inside you. And if you have sufficient faith in Krishna, Krishna's words, there is no necessity to expand your material world. There is no necessity to expand your material world. Today what we are doing is, we read all these things, we print literature, we distribute them all, then we make our plans how to increase our, in the name of security and protection, what all we do in this world. The name is, why? Because there is no faith in Krishna's words. That is why all this is coming from. Because there is no faith in Krishna's words, we have put faith in all our other arrangements. We feel, oh, if I don't have $1 million, what will happen to me tomorrow? What will happen? Where will I end up at the end? Why? This is the way Maya works. Maya captures you like this. The moment you decide to stay away from Krishna's words, Maya captures you straight away and will give you sufficient engagement in this world. Now you work like an ass whole life for making $1 million. And whatever it is, all these plans that's going on has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. And this whole material world becomes more unbearable when we go in that route. When we go through that road. For a devotee or a jnani, whoever it is, it doesn't matter. This path is not acceptable. For him, the path of knowledge and vairagyam. Jnana vairagya yuktaya pasyandi almani chalpmanam. Krishna says, Sudha Goswami says too, when jnanam, knowledge and vairagyam, renunciation is there, pasyandi almani chalpmanam, bhaktya shudagrihidaya. This is how he presents that. That he will see Krishna inside, sitting there. And that is the end of all knowledge. Finished. You don't have to know anything after that. Pashyandi almani chalpmanam bhaktya shruta grihi idaya. In the Bhagavadam you can see where this is all coming from. This is all coming from Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is saying this, that if you follow this route of Krishna consciousness and realize your identity spiritually, what it is, what is Krishna's part and parcel or identification with Krishna, whatever that is, once you realize that, then you don't need to know anything anymore after that. So that is such an important point in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So whenever we study Bhagavad Gita or when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, if we do not keep this in the mind, if we do not keep these things in the mind, our commitment to spiritual life will fade. And from spiritual life will become, spiritual life is not like material life. It's always growing. It cannot come to an end. When will it come to an end? At the point it finishes at Krishna's lotus feet. That's where it stops. But till you get there, you cannot stop it. Whereas material life, you may think, okay, if I make £500,000 by the time I'm 50, then after that you don't have so much enthusiasm to do it. You will think, what shall I do now? Then you have to make some other plans. Or after retirement also, you may start thinking, what shall I do in my retirement? What do the people normally do? They'll struggle throughout life to make some money. And then society, generale or somebody goes away with 7 billion. And then this man is sitting here writing petitions to Gordon Brown or whoever it is that I lost my money in this bank, Golden Rock or Equitable or whatever it is. It's all gone. And then he said, I had this plan, going on a cruise in my retirement life, all that, you destroyed my project, plans everything. You have to cry. But Krishna says, if you take to Krishna consciousness and realize the self, all this plan making, project making, everything will come to an end. And there is no more time left once you are retired. You have no more time. That is when you really start your working life. Up to that point, you are not working. Working life really starts when you are retired, not before than that. When you, till you get retired, you are working to fill this belly. That's all. There's nothing value. Everybody is doing it. The animals are also doing it. There's nothing spectacular about that. But real working towards Krishna, he starts when you have really get out of all this mess. What we have? What karma has created in front of us. Now you can see that the whole burden in life is nothing but karma that has caused you to get stuck in all these different situations. So, but once you have come out of it, at least one should free oneself from that. Now let's go back into Bhagavadam. So, when we talk about Bhagavadam, one important thing you have to remember is everything what has been spoken here is based on Varnashrama Dharma, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Right? It is on that basis Vedic culture sustained so long. And in that, the topmost position is given to Brahmana. Isn't it? Brahmana is respected maximum, mostly. Why is it like that? Why is Brahmana respected? He has been given a status, although he is not rich. Today, we people respect only those who have got money, isn't it? They are respected. Those who have no money is useless, we think. That's the way we think about them. So people are thinking like that. If you have no money, you're useless. If you have made a lot of money, look at him. He's installing the deities at home, though. So many people are coming for the party at home. This is how we analyze spiritual life in the modern days. Modern days doesn't see a person with a deeper realization. That's not considered any more important. Suppose someone has made millions of pounds and he opens a temple. Everybody thinks, look how pious, how he must be very advanced because he's spending so much money on the temple. That doesn't give any clue to it, any guarantee to that. The real understanding is that Brahmana is supposed to be respected for only one reason. Why? Because he doesn't engage in karma. Understand? He doesn't engage in karma. He is not allowed to do any karma. Karma means fruity work. Fruity work. So fruity work means if you accept anything in return for something, that means your karma is not pure. Your karma is not pure. Or in other words, only when if you are able to do a karma in this world without expecting anything in return from that karma will not bind you. That karma will not bind you. Because it is done on a higher knowledge, with a higher understanding of things. A Brahmana is supposed to execute his work with this higher understanding. That he has to do his karma throughout the day and then whatever prarabdham has brought him to survive in this world, he has to accept that. And if he lives like that, he is a Brahmana. Otherwise not. Now what do you find? The first person to negotiate the salary is the Brahmana in the modern world. The first person who comes, he wants to negotiate his salary first thing. And we call him as Brahmana. Can you? The very principle of Brahminical culture, you have cut it there. Just by this thread, you can get that for 5p from Radharani's bakery. Doesn't cost more than that. What is the use of this? This thread. People are thinking that they have all become Brahmins. You don't become a Brahmin. You have to be a Brahmin first. Brahmin, not by birth, by your quality. If the quality is not there, and you are thinking that I have become a Brahmin by this thread, then that is the biggest blunder. Biggest blunder. Because that is false understanding. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, about the same thing. Brahmanasahi dehoyam kshudragamaya neshyade. Kshudragamam, this body is not, if he is a Brahmana, is not meant for sense gratification. That is the sacrifice they have to make. And because they made that sacrifice all through the history, that is why they are held in that higher position. Only such people who have because Brahmana culture, Brahminical culture means what? They can see that the life is going to come to an end, the body will die and go, I don't want to come back to this material world after they once for all they want to get self-realized and go away. Because that is the one more step if they make further, they are in the spiritual world. That's how close they are proper Brahmana, but not the modern Brahmana. Modern Brahmana, I don't know how many last times they have to come back to do this. So, this unfortunate situation is this, that whole society is getting misled by this kind of modern systems, what we have designed to make Brahmanas. Sometimes it doesn't end up like that. It brings you completely different understanding. Sometimes you see in the internet and websites, devotees discussing about Brahmana. It's very interesting to read some of them, that their perceptions of Brahmana. Brahmana means this, that he has no selfish motive in doing anything. Everything what he does is for the benefit of the society. And he, on the other hand, is not demanding anything from the society. That is his purity. That is called karma shuddhi. Karma shuddhi means he is pure in his karma. He cannot afford to do any fruitive work. If he does fruitive work, it means that he is contaminated. So therefore, what they have done is, you will see in the system, in the traditional system of the Brahminical culture, that in order to get up from the bed, you have to chant a mantra. After that, when you go to bathroom, you have to chant a mantra. Or when you go into bathe. While brushing the teeth, you have to chant a mantra. While gargling with water in the mouth, you have to chant a mantra. While spitting it out, you have to chant a mantra. While bathing, you have to chant a mantra. While going underneath the water, you have to chant a mantra. While coming out of the water, you have to chant a mantra. While tying the shikha, you have to chant a mantra. While drying the body, you have to chant a mantra. Like this, for everything, something is connected with that. So if you look into their daily routine, in the traditional way I'm talking about, not in the modern way, traditional way, you know how many things they have to do? If they have to do everything strictly according to the Vedic injunctions, they will not be free before about 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. That is when they will be free for to take some food even. Up to that time, they are busy. And starting at 3-4 in the morning, right up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they have no time for anything else. The list of samskaras are listed. There is a book available, I think, in the temple shop. There's about 40 samskaras listed there for a Brahmana. 40. That and if you read through all that samskaras, I don't think that many Brahmanas who have done it all these days now. Hardly there is this thread ceremony, Upanayanam, what they call it. That's all. And then the marriage ceremony, that's it, finished. Then the samskaram all over. So virtually, you can see in the modern society, this Brahminical culture has completely disappeared. Therefore, everyone is on a similar platform. One has put the thread or not put the thread. There's not a big difference in their understanding of this. Because they're not living accordingly. So some time ago, there was one acharya who lived in a mutt. And he lived very strictly according to all these instructions. He was very well respected by the Brahminical society also those days. Brahminical society also respected him very much for his strict adherence to the injunctions. And obviously, because he was living like that, his purity was very high. And people used to go to him for help in different ways. Getting some material, they'll go to him with their problems. That's all what people normally do, isn't it? They go to spiritual personalities to sort out all their, or daughter is not getting married, or son is not getting a job, or husband is sick, or wife is having problems with something like this. All our material family garbage will bring it there also to them. So he will listen to them. Whenever he said something, they used to take it seriously. They had total faith in him. And they used to find big relief from his words, and he was helpful to them very much. So some of the Brahmanas felt that they should discuss with him about what they should do. And all these Brahmanas, they are all working in industry and business and you name it, whatever, government and all kinds of things. They all got jobs. They ought to be doing different kind of things. So they said to him that, how can we do, if we have to do all these things, what you are telling us to do, these routine things, every day, morning to evening, one after the other, and how can we do the work in the office? That was their question to him. You know what he answered to them? He said, these things are there only for one reason, so that you don't go to the office, he said. That was the reason. Because this is called anushtanam. Anushtanam means to bring some discipline in life. To bring some discipline in life. If you have no discipline in life, you can't progress spiritually also. Anything requires discipline, isn't it? Even in material life also, some discipline is necessary. So for example, if you have to work, the workplace demands that you be there at 9 o'clock and you have to go there, you have to leave home at 8 to catch the train and get there. That means 1 hour traveling or something. So that means that you got to be prepared to get up at a certain time. So a little bit of tapasya is necessary even in material life. Isn't it? A limited amount of tapasya is necessary even in material life. If a little tapasya is necessary in material life, how much tapasya is necessary in spiritual life? Imagine that. How much commitment is necessary? And that is why it is said, his answer was very prompt and straight. He said to them that all these things are set up so that you don't go to the office and you don't go to the factory. Ah, then they say, how that can we do? Who will feed us? He says, this is what the society is today. The society is like this today. Who will feed us? Who will pay the bills? Who will pay the mortgage? Who will pay for the children? Who will pay for the holidays? Who will pay for the children's education? If you cannot have a brahmana's life and you cannot have these things together, that's not going to happen. So whatever it is, that is the culture. That is the culture. So this culture, that is what we were discussing here, that the that Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he discussed this, he mentioned this, that for a brahmana, these things are absolutely necessary. You must have noticed this discipline is concerned. It's necessary. Discipline is necessary in spiritual life. So what will happen is, if you enforce this discipline on the children at an early age, if you can enforce this on the children, later on they may leave it. When they grow up, say 20, 25, they may leave it. And they may start working, doing different things. And for some time, they may go away from spiritual life. But if you, at the childhood, if you enforce this discipline on them, what can happen is, say by the age of 40, 45, they will also have gone through a certain phase in life. They will start coming back to these things, what they have learned in their childhood. That's why it is so important to give them spiritual life when they are small. If you leave it to the old age, thinking that, oh, let him finish now this course, that course, that course, and this marriage, and then mortgage, and this and that, and at the end he will take it. He's not going to take it. You can forget it. It's not going to happen. Then that life will be simply sense gratification. Nothing else. Because he has not developed any faith in Bhagavad Gita. He has never had an opportunity to hear Bhagavad Gita or to study Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why it is so important at an early age to get this message to their heart. And once, as I said before, if Krishna goes in to some degree inside, in due course, Akramyam Hridi Avastida, it will control the whole place. Eventually, his own mind will tell him, all this nonsense, what is in this material life, material world, what I am working for, is not ultimately the goal of life. It has to be what Krishna has spoken. Krishna will control that in that way. That's why it is so important that there are so many names for all these things. Aupasanam, Agnihotram, Panchayatanam, and homam, chaulam, upanayanam, simandam. You can see the number of items listed for a brahmana to do. Why is it all there? Because to bring this discipline in life. Just to get that discipline in life. That you don't get up in the morning, start switching on BBC straight away. To watch what BBC is saying to. What BBC can help you? BBC can't help you. Your time is limited in this world. So you have to see that how that time is utilized, and that discipline is absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. That is why it said, brahmana is not allowed to do kamya karma. Kamya karma means fruitive work. He is not allowed to do. Even if somebody offers money, he has to refuse it. That's what is expected from him. He has to refuse it. Because he knows, by working like this, in the spirit of renunciation, detachment, he is acquiring wealth inside. That tapashakti will increase. The moment you accept, you have to give a part of it to that person who has given you the money. So if you take that money and use it for your own life, you have to follow their karma also with that. There is no doubt about that. That is why all these things are very, very subtle. Stula shariram, sushma shariram, karana shariram. These two, three bodies, they will carry out the business in its own way. No matter how we try to avoid, because we don't know about these things, so we do what we want. But once you know it, you cannot stay out of it. It is impossible to do anything in the wrong way. You will always, every moment, you will judge it based on this understanding that karma is done. So in other words, in order to go back home, back to Krishna, we all have to come to this consciousness of a Brahmana, which means that we have to disconnect ourselves from karma. Isn't it? Karma is the one, they have got out of karma, that's why they are Brahmana. Because they have come out of the karma. Karma is not. Whereas for us, karma is very strong. Say, take for example a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya has got a lot of karma in him. Why? Because on the one hand, have you noticed Kshatriya way of life? Kshatriya will enjoy his senses to the maximum. Yeah? Senses to the maximum. He has to enjoy because he has all the facilities there as a king. Plenty of people to serve him, plenty of money, plenty of wealth. And so he lives a very opulent life. On the other hand, Kshatriya consciousness demands that if tomorrow he has to give up his body in the battlefield with the sword or cutting each other, he should be ready for that also. Which is quite a difficult thing when you are living comfortably like this, isn't it? It is a difficult thing when you make a comfortable living with all facilities. Suddenly you have to go to the battlefield and fight there with the enemy, where you can lose your head and gone. So you can see that Kshatriya's consciousness is different than a Brahmana's consciousness. Isn't it? So based on the demand of that particular body, this Varnashrama Dharmam has been structured. And coming down further than that is Vaishya's position. Vaishya's position is he is allowed so many things. Why? Because he's in that category where he can make money and he can give it in charity, help the Brahmin, maintain this Varnashrama Dharmam. That is his duty. Maintaining Varnashrama Dharmam is Vaishya's duty. Because all the money that is required for maintaining this Brahminical culture and the Kshatriyas to fight, that's all to be provided by the Vaishyas. So, and then the last fourth Shudras are there to help execute all these things properly. This is how Varnashrama Dharmam system is designed. Now that's all gone, so we don't have to think about it too much. In the modern world, what exists is only one caste, and that's Shudra. Nothing else exists in this modern world. And Shudras are putting threats and says, I am Brahmana, and somebody saying, I am Kshatriya, somebody saying, I am Vaishya. It all makes no difference. At the end of the day, the quality is not there. So what's the point in discussing about it? But this important point, that to come to that position of escaping from karma, you have to come to this position of a Brahminical culture. That quality build up, that's more important. That not somebody else has to say that you are a Brahmana, you got second initiation, now you are a Brahmana. That is nothing much, nothing means it. It means nothing. But what's important here is that this Krishna consciousness and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, how far has it gone deep down inside? That's the most important thing. So having come to that, kamya karma has to be avoided. Kamya karma means fruity work has to be avoided under all circumstances. That will bind you further. So therefore, karma, akarma, vikarma, three things we have discussed. And in that, how to execute karma within this framework. So that one day, executing karma yogam in a proper way, you will become freed from the bondage of karma and not execute any more kamya karma or fruity work, and you will be absorbed in complete spiritual life, spiritualization. So that is why karma yogam is important. That is the reason why I was talking this whole background of that, how important karma yogam is. Because without this understanding, if we simply say that I am executing bhakti yogam, so I am not bothered about karma yogam, I am in a much higher platform, the highest platform. I am loving Radharani and Krishna. That's all I see in this world, nothing else. If we start saying this, but not knowing any of these very basic principles of Krishna consciousness, then we won't stay in that very long, in that position of Krishna consciousness. So, as I said before, that this is the discussion, what is going to start now, between Nimi Maharaj and Avihotra. So, what does King say? Karma yogam madana purushoyena samskrita viduyehashu karmani naishkarmyam vindade param. At least the king is very intelligent here. You know why? Because he says here, how am I going to get rid of all my these vasanas inside? He's asking that question. Who? King Nimi. Whereas we won't even ask such a question, would we? Because we say we have no vasanas, we are completely pure. That's how we are. The king is asking the question that, and many, many lifetimes, what I have acquired in my consciousness, that dirt, how can I get rid of it? And how will pure devotion or pure knowledge will come to me? He's asking that question. And that, with the intention was, he was asking this with the background of Karma Yoga in him. Because he said in the next verse, I asked this question already to Sanat Kumara. But Sanat Kumara didn't answer me. At that time, when he was a little boy. You see, at a little boy, at that age itself, he had this knowledge. Imagine that. King Nimi, as a little boy, knew these things. Today, at the age of 80 also, we don't know what it means, isn't it? We are disconnected from the realities of the spiritual life. We have come so much absorbed in the body and the bodily identity and in the sense gratification that we can't even know the presence of the soul. We can't even appreciate that. So whereas King Nimi, having trained up in the lineage of Ikshvaku's son he was, he already knew Nimi's history. If you read in the ninth canto, we have spoken about that before, who King Nimi is, yeah? And Nimi is the one who is causing this twitch in the eye. Nimisham, it's called, yeah? So that's already we discussed about Vasishtha and him, the problem he had. So anyway, we'll not go to that, we'll take a lot of time. So we'll come to this now. King Nimi asked this question. They were also rooted in the knowledge of Vedic literature. That he says to Avihotra, that how will I free myself? And why they did not tell me this? And because he asked this question when he was 5 years old. So that point, Avihotra says to him, the reason why they did not answer you that question was, you may not have understood this whole intricacy of this, the cycle of this karma, how it entangles you. Not only that, to know which karma to perform and which karma not to perform is even a very difficult thing to make that decision in the world. Because karma by nature itself is binding. Secondly, in this issue of karma, akarma, vikarma, there is disagreement even between the sages. What to talk about ordinary people. Some people, and according to time, place and circumstances, one karma can become acceptable to one party and it is not acceptable to another party. From Brahmana, something could be, for example, making money for Vaishya is acceptable. Making money for Brahmana is not acceptable. You see? So, if you sell somebody that don't make money, he may say, why not? He will ask the first question, why shouldn't I make money? Especially the stock market is booming now. Why shouldn't I make money? American government is pumping $200 billion or something into it. Economy will start now its work. And this is the opportunity to invest. Invest in property, invest in shares, invest here, invest there. It's all about investment and dovetail it with Krishna, we will say, at the end. So this mentality in us won't go very easily. Because they are very deeply inside and we are only waiting for an outlet to come out, that thing. So Krishna is saying here, Avihotra Maharshi was saying this to King Nimi, that this science of karma, what is right and what's wrong, is even very difficult to define clearly. So therefore they did not answer you. You won't be understood if they have told you the answer. You may not have understood that. That's the reason why they didn't answer that question to you. This is how he said that. So then you will see. Karmam, verse 43. Third chapter, verse 43. He says here, Karmam akarmam vigarmedi vedavado na laukika. Vedasya Cheshuratmatva Tramukhyandi Suraya. He says here, karmam, akarmam, vikarmam. This is all Vedavadam. Vedas have made these definitions in order to make it little easier for us. It is a Vedic injunction, this is. Karmam, akarmam and vikarmam and all that. And that is not something laugigam. Laugigam means it's not something applied to the world directly. In the sense, if you are accepting the Vedic authority, then it applies to you. But if you don't accept the Vedic authority, it doesn't apply to you. Because a lot of the people in this world don't accept the Vedic authority. Their authorities are different. And naturally, according to their mind, they will work in this world. The mind will tell them, make money now, and as much as possible. For them, karmam, agarmam, vikarmam doesn't apply. They are not bound by that. Whether they have to go to the North Sea and drill the, put the platform there and work in the platform for months and months to make more money or play in the stock market and lose everything tomorrow. All this is part of karmam only, isn't it? So the one who has higher understanding and realizations and who can see above all these things, he will analyze it properly. But one who is under the control of the modes of nature, he will do it in his own mind. That's why it's not said, it's na laugiga, it's not laugiyam. Vedasya cheshura atmatval tatra muhyandi suraya. But those who have accepted Vedas, why people accept Vedas? Because Vedas is the proper science of God, science of the soul. In other words, it is not something which has been written by one person. It didn't come from one person. Vedas didn't come from one person. It is the realizations of so many great sages. Over a long period of time, through their austerities and penances, they have realized the truth and they have put forward to us in the form of Vedic literature, through Upanishads, through Itihasams, and to the different levels of people in different languages they have presented it to us. For highly elevated people, through Upanishads, like the Kathopanishad and all that. But ordinary people find it very hard to take it, so they have presented to us in the form of Puranas and Ramayana, Mahabharatam and all that. So whatever it is, the Vedas are the authority. There is no authority elsewhere. Vedas are the only authority. If you want to understand the truth, and if you want to understand the soul, if you want to realize the self, there's only one process, that is through the Vedic process. And this process has worked, and it has worked for so long, and throughout the history, this remained as the complete process in self-realization. And Vedic literature is talking about this, therefore those who accepted the Vedic authority will take it. That tatra suraya muhyanti, muhyanti suraya. Even the learned people in the Vedic literature, they are confused about this, he says here. So, then in order to come out from this, what is the option? How to come out from this? That's why it said, Vedai sarvani karmani abhala varadaya varnidani iti buddhvatani tvayarpidani tavahi samanujaran yani naishkarmya mishe. Vedai sarvani karmani. All the karmam has to be executed under the Ved. Now, in Vedic literature, they have one way of executing karmam. What is that? Through sacrifices. Execute sacrifices, and by executing sacrifices, like I mentioned before, Agniratram, Adishtomam, Vajapayam, there is a number of them. In Yajurvedam is nothing but all the Vedic sacrifices. Not the fire sacrifices what we are doing here. They are talking about sacrifices like Rajasuyam. We talked about Yudhishthira Maharaj's Rajasuyam. We talked about Ashwamedham, Prithu Maharaj's Ashwamedham, big sacrifice. These kind of sacrifices, Daksha Prajapati sacrifice, sacrifices like King Dasharatha performed, Putragameshti. All these kind of sacrifices last for months and months and years sometimes. And the purpose of those sacrifices is to purify. They can purify you. Why? Because if it is executed with the right understanding, that not with the goal of going back to the heavenly planets to enjoy, rather to propitiate the demigods and the devadas who are performed, for whose pleasure it's performed, it will release us, free us from the bondage. That is the Vedic injunction. It's there in the Vedas. And that's why there was a complete culture of Yajnam. Yajna Samskaram it's called. Yajna Samskaram that existed at one time. Today you can see very, very traces of that. Very traces of that. There are still people who have that tradition in them and who are capable of performing them, performing these sacrifices. And sometimes you find odd situations when someone who knows about it, they spend the money to execute these sacrifices. Spend the money to execute these sacrifices. It costs a lot of money to perform these sacrifices. A lot. We are talking about something like 2-3 million pounds, each of these, some of these sacrifices. The amount of preparation involved, the engaging those who are capable of executing those things. So such, this is a very rare thing that happens now. So anyway. So, Vedai Sarvani Karmani, when you execute such sacrifices, Abhala Bharataya, it should be done without expecting any results from that. That is the message, first thing. Vedai Sarvani Karmani Abhala Bharataya Varnidani. That is how it is discussed in the Vedas. You should execute without expectation of any results from that. Any results from that. Varnidani Idi Budhvatani Tvayarpidani Tavahi Samanujaran Yani Naishkarmyam Ishem. So, when you are executing that karma, if your understanding is proper, the person means Yajamani. Yajamani means the one who is paying for all the expenses. And if his understanding is correct, and those who are executing the karma or sacrifices to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in due course, he will be receiving the benefit from that. He will get the, if his understanding is correct. Ma buddhe veder nishadher kuhijadamina karma vajam pravrtir durvarjam chedavaptam tadavigalivave arpaye chil prakashem. That suppose one cannot execute these sacrifices. Ma buddher veder nishidher. In such a situation, what should we do? We should at least say to Krishna, let my mind not go in that direction which is forbidden by the Vedas. Which is forbidden by the Vedas. At least let me not engage in such activities which is totally forbidden by the Vedic injunctions, Vedic literature. So basically to talk about that, that Vedic injunctions talk of various things. And today we don't have a society which is based on the Vedic philosophy. But still, even within this society where we are today, if we at least keep these fundamentals of spiritual life, namely the four regulative principles, at least precisely if we follow that to a large degree, you can escape from the vikarmam. That is why it is kept there. Not that because I got involved with a sinful activity, that it is going to be, oh, I'm frightened all the time. When is the reaction going to come, tomorrow or day after or when? So because of frightened, I'm not doing that. It's not that. Karmam is a jadam thing. Why is it done like this? It's done for this reason only, that you have to free yourself from karmam. That's the goal. But if you engage in karmam further and further, what will happen? You're getting more implicated in that. So that's why it is said that Ma buddher veder nishidher kohachit abhimana karma vajam pravrtir durvarjam chedavaptam tadabighalubhavet arpaye chilprakashe. Even if I feel whatever according to my vasanas insight, my impressions, if I am doing something against the laws of Vedic injunctions, if that is the case, let it happen in such a way that I am able to offer all the results to you. To whom? To Krishna. If you offer the results to Krishna, then what will happen is that the results won't bind you. That's the exit clause from the Vedic injunctions. Then if by chance, if I have done something out of the Vedic injunctions, which we are all doing all the time, you can see there, at least in that situation, let me offer everything to you what I have got and please protect me from that. This is the prayer for the Vedic, the karma, way of karma, performing karma. This is one process. What is the other process? Other process is deity worship. Deity worship. This deity worship, we may all wonder, why is deity worship so important? We will discuss deity worship with Avirhotra Maharshi, is going to talk about this now in a few verses. But Krishna will discuss this in detail with Uddhava in the 28th chapter, much later, and we talk about Rajasakandam will come later. That time we'll discuss in a little more detail. But today, we'll just talk about the very few things about deity worship. Deity worship, there are three ways of doing deity worship. What are they? In the Bhagavatam also it's mentioned. Vaidhigam, Tandrigam, Mishram. It's called Vaidhigam, Tandrigam and Mishram. Vaidhigam means based on the mantras. Based on the mantras. It comes from the Vedas. Straight away, direct tradition from the Vedas. Tandrigam means based on the tantras. Now I have to tell you what tantra means, isn't it? Otherwise there is no meaning in saying Tandrigam. So, based on mantram, it's called Vaidhigam. Based on tantram, it's called Tandrigam. And then there is a third process, which is called a Mishram. Mishram means mixture of both. These are the three processes Krishna has discussed in the Bhagavadam as far as deity worship is concerned. For whom is the deity worship? That question first. Deity worship is those people who finds it very difficult to accept the conclusions of the Vedas. To begin with, some people you can see this also in daily life. When Krishna says something, yeah, if you start subjecting that to your intelligence and mind, and want to sort out first in your own mind, that means you haven't got the faith in Krishna's words. You're finding it difficult to accept it. You are not realizing who Krishna is. That's what the problem is. You start thinking Krishna is somebody like a college professor from Oxford or Cambridge. And you start thinking, oh, if he is telling this, how do I'm supposed to understand this? This is how we first our reaction to that. Often you will find some devotees will say, how am I supposed to understand this statement in the Bhagavatam? They'll say like this. Often you hear this all the time. That means their understanding of Krishna is also very poor. They have thought Krishna is somebody there, like a college professor is teaching you some subject. He's teaching us Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is not a subject like that. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is the subtle, Krishna has said that in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Sushmatwal, the most subtle thing is Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is. Because it's a talk subject related to the soul. And because I haven't got that sushma buddhi or sushmatvam in me, should I blame Krishna for that? Okay. I am so gross in my thinking and my consciousness, and I can't see that subtle side what Krishna is talking about. I mentioned before, intelligence is all fixed ideas. Fixed things only intelligence can accept. You may be highly intelligent, but you may not understand Bhagavad Gita. You may misunderstand everything. That can happen. Why? Because you are seeing through your intelligence. You won't understand it. So, whereas Krishna's words are not to be taken like that. So some people can accept Bhagavad Gita without any difficulty. They will accept it because they know who is talking is not an ordinary personality. By their own analysis in their mind, either by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and knowing about the glories from some other great personality, great soul, or by the mercy of a great personality, automatically your faith is built up in Krishna. You don't need to be told who Krishna is. He doesn't have to go through this process of analyzing Krishna first before accepting Krishna's words. For such people who have that difficulty, for them, in order to get their mind withdrawn from the external world and become a little bit more peaceful inside to accept spirituality and spiritual life, deity worship can help a lot for them. For them, deity worship can help a lot. Now, deity worship, that is why when the sushma buddhi or sushmatvam is not there in a person, for she must take to deity worship. And deity worship is the easiest process to develop that sushmatvam inside. Sushmatvam. Sushmatval avigaritval in the says in the Bhagavadam. So sushmatvam will build up very easily in a person who develops deity worship, who takes into deity worship. Now this deity worship process has got these three processes. Tandrigam, Vaidhigam, Mishram. Tandrigam, Vaidhigam and Mishram. What are the differences between the three? If you understand the differences, you will know how important each one of them are. Generally, in almost all the temples, you can say the process used is Tantrigam. Process used is Tantrigam. Everywhere, what is used is Tantrigam. To different levels. We have these books, for example, Pancharatriya Vidhi. Narada Maharshi has written for the deity worship, which is supposed to be followed in our temples in Ishkon. That is Pancharatriya Vidhi. That is a Tantrika Vidhi. Then there is Vaikhanasam, written by another great sage. That also exists in so many. These are all in the Vaishnava traditions. Vaishnava Tantram, they are called. Vaishnava Tantram. All these books, Pancharatriyam and Vaikhanasam, they are all Vaishnava Tantras. They are used in the deity worship. Then there is Shaiva Agamams. For Lord Shiva's worship, there are a number of Tantrika Vidhi processes for his worship. Then there are books written for the worship of the other Devadas also, like Subramanyam, Ganesh and all that. We see volumes of literature on this, unlimited. And all these great, great, large temples you will find, they follow these Tantriya process of worship. What does Tantrika Vidhi means? Tantrika Vidhi means, now when you look into the world outside, everything is dead matter for you, isn't it? It's all dead matter. I look at this mic, it's a dead thing for me. It is functioning because the electricity comes in and it does the work. So, but otherwise it is dead matter. It has no consciousness, is there? There's no consciousness for the mic. Mic has no consciousness. Mic can only talk as long as the electricity runs. It will amplify the whatever I have spoken. That's all it can do. But if I touch the mic, will the mic know that I'm touching the mic? Mic doesn't know. Mic has no feeling for that, isn't it? Mic has no feeling for that. Similarly, for example, this chair, it is dead matter. There's no consciousness in there, isn't it? Consciousness you don't find anywhere, right? And Krishna is consciousness. So, using these dead matter in this creation, whatever that is available in this dead matter, convert that dead matter into spirit and make us to see in that dead matter spirit. That is the tantric process of worship. Tantric process of worship is nothing but to change that jadam. Jadam means dead matter. Jadam it is. Everything is jadam in this matter. All that jadam, dead matter. For example, what is deity? Deity is nothing but marble. That marble stone was lying somewhere in Rajasthan, in some mountain somewhere, in the marble quarry. Some quarry people have quarried and they made a cut of piece out of it. Isn't it? And then it came to the person who carved the deity. He, from that piece of marble, he have cut open so many parts and he brought the form into it. And now we say it's Krishna. Otherwise it is just a piece of stone, isn't it? But how did it become Krishna then? He cut off everything what is not Krishna and he made the form and it has become Krishna to us. But it has not become Krishna immediately. After it was formed, the carving was done. And that dead matter of marble, now we have to see Krishna in there. How do we do that? That is a Tantrika Vidhi. Tantrika process of worship is nothing but this. That how to see Krishna in the dead matter. So everything has to be done to build this into our mind, our consciousness. How to experience Krishna in there. How to experience Krishna in there. So in order to do that, the most important thing in the deity worship, the process, whose responsibility is that? How does that dead matter becomes Krishna to us? Only by the effort of those who are serving him directly, which are the pujaris. If you have the best pujaris, or they have that samskaram in them, that they can execute their life in such a way that by virtue of their own service to the deity, Krishna will be present there. Krishna accepts that. There is a rule for all these things. Not that something in the air, it comes out like that. The rules are very rigid and they are all being spoken very clearly. Provided somebody is able to follow that. And in order to do that, you have to have that Brahminical culture in a person. Otherwise, it will become simply a show. It won't have any impact. So the deity becomes Krishna. In other words, Krishna's presence is there in the deity. The moment the worship starts by those who are serving the deity and they have served him with the right consciousness, right understanding, and the right austerity and penances, what they are meant to perform. That means it is impossible for someone to do a pujari job and do a karmi job together. It will not work. Now, they will say, oh, the pujari's wages are not good enough, so I have to go and do karmi job. This is how people are talking these days. So, none said pujari job and karmi job is same then. This is giving me money, that's also giving me money. So, where is the difference? So, if you understand like this, what has he understood about deity worship? Deity worship means it requires a tremendous commitment inside, from inside. Tremendous commitment. And those who have done that in the history, you will see that they had no time for anything else. They will not associate with the modes of nature, outside world, because a little effect from outside world is enough to destroy their worship in Krishna. That their purity will be affected straight away. So if you try to do things, two things at the same time, you can't have it together. Then at least those who are closely associating with the deity, they have to maintain a very, very strong fence they have to build around them. They have to build that fence around them. They shouldn't mix closely with people outside. They shouldn't work for money. They shouldn't expect that that they have any other interest in life except serving the deity. It is said that if 12 years, if a person does with this pure consciousness, serves the deity, that deity will do for him whatever he wants him to do. In other words, all his distress, material distress, everything is solved once for all with that. But that requires a great commitment from the person who is serving the deity. So this Tandriya worship, success depends on this one thing. One thing, what is that? The pujaris and the people who are handling the deity worship, their purity. Nothing else. That's what makes it successful deity worship. If their deity worship is first class, and if they are serving the deity with all that commitment, all that sincerity, and with the complete knowledge of it, without deviating from that, the temple will become the greatest attraction to the whole world. That is the potency of that worship. Of course, that requires tremendous traditions and background behind a person who is doing it, and he will not be concerned about his... he cannot be concerned about other things in life. Other things is not an object in life. But unfortunately, in the modern world, that kind of deity worship is getting difficult, more and more difficult. Because, first of all, that spiritual strength is lacking in the people also. Not only that, even if the spiritual strength is there, still the the understanding, the deeper understanding of it is also going away from the people. They are just simply seeing the deity, simply there. Prabhupada used to say that if you do the deity worship simply to show people and to collect money from them, then both you and the people who are worshipping are not going to get anything out of it. It is simply a waste of time. These are all very subtle things and completely depend on their purity and on their understanding of things, the deity worship will progress. And therefore, if his consciousness is not pure, Krishna won't be present in the deity. Krishna won't be present in the deity. Because Krishna is not so cheap that he will come and accept anyone and everyone. That he has also his own standard. We have to rise up to that, not bring him down to our level. So that's what we all do. What we normally do is, we want, this is the whole problem in the modern spiritual institutions. What's happening is, we don't want to change ourselves. We want to make shortcuts to Krishna. So we want to bring these sages who wrote all this Vedic literature. They have done it after thousands and thousands of years of austerities and penances. They have come to these conclusions and they have given it to us. And they have told us that if you can't do this, come gradually to that. Till you get that, don't try to do it. Because if you try to do that, it will not work. Bhagavad Gita is talking from a much higher level. Yeah, even Krishna, you can see when he's talking to Arjuna, he's talking from a much higher level. Aprameyasya, he says, you have to have that faith in Krishna's words. But what do? We brought Bhagavad Gita to our level. That means we can make money out of Bhagavad Gita, do some business out of it, do some courses and seminars and all, and we say, I will teach you Bhagavad Gita. The one who heard it, he is thinking, I learned Bhagavad Gita. The one who spoke, he says, I made money out of it. So both principles have been done. But what, spiritually what? What has happened? Nothing. It's the same where you have started. Where's the difference? So that's why in deity worship also, if that standard is not maintained, and if we don't live up to that, the worship also, Krishna says, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So this Tandriya Vidhi of worship is like that. I think it is 7:30. So we'll stop there. And those who are coming to India can just stay back for a few minutes and we'll talk about that. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.